Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James, and before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind-the-scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
While out walking the streets late at night, the Crow seeks out ne'er-do-wells to punish for their crimes. He walks past a dark alley and sees one figure menacing another. The Crow shines a flashlight and is horrified to see bite marks on the neck of the victim with fresh blood pouring out onto the streets below him. It is then that Dracula, the other figure, turns and bares his fangs. The Crow didn't mean to interrupt dinner, but he knows full well an abomination when he sees one and moves to put it down. It's Vlad versus Eric. It's Vampire versus Vengeance. It's Dracula versus the Crow. Today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Ray Stakanis. Legion of Audience, our faithful fan base, it's a supernatural-themed battle for today's episode. In one corner, you have Dracula, the iconic vampire who embodies both aristocratic elegance and malevolent power. And in the other corner, you have the Crow, a rock musician who returns from the dead to avenge his and his fiancée's brutal murders. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed. And I was actually really sure this matchup would have, been discussed or come up sometime over the past 28 years of the history of the Crow, actually longer than that. But nothing. Nothing. No mention of this specific battle ever before on the internet, according to Google, which means it's never been discussed in the history of the universe. So yet again, the Who Would Win team brings you the Legion of Audience, a never-before-seen premier geek culture matchup, and you're welcome. Ray, what are your thoughts on today's battle?
I'm more excited about this battle than I am about a typical battle. Look, I always get fired up for these, as well, you know, as well as the Legion of Audience, but keep it real. The Rainiacs, the hashtag awkward allies out there, the 5%ers, the people who got my back week in and week out. I do it for you. Really, no, that's not true. I do it for me, but I do it for you a little bit. And I hope you appreciate what I give to you on a weekly basis. The point I'm trying to make is Dracula is a phenomenal character. I'm excited to have him on the show. And the Crow, he won his, it was in the first ever Shocktober. The Crow beat Jason Voorhees in a battle. And I always felt like that judgment was a little suspect. So I'm excited to bring an even more monstrous, undead character to the show to take down the Crow once and for all.
You know, Ray, when I look at these two characters side by side, this is really hard to figure out. They match up so freakingly well and are kind of even in a whole bunch of different areas. It's really hard for me to figure out. And when you have a hard to figure out matchup, you need that judge. You know which judge I'm talking about. Someone who can bring their years of experience to see through all the big and small details Rain are going to bring to this debate and so much more, and have them make the ultimate fair and logical decision. Do we have that judge today? I think so, but let's find out, because making their first appearance on the Who Would Win show, it's the president of Van Ryder Games. It's the designer of the Final Girl board game. It's AJ Porfirio. AJ, welcome to Who Would Win.
Hey, guys. Thrilled to be here. Very excited to pass judgment on The Crow or Dracula. See who will win this battle.
I thought you were going to say you're ready to pass judgment on Ray, because so many judges do, in addition
Wouldn't
to judging
the
episode.
Time.
Yeah, we'll see how this battle goes out. Now, before we get into
I might just pass judgment everywhere. We'll see what happens.
I mean, it's your call, really. You're in control of this. Now, before we get into this episode, tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, you know, what you've been up to.
Oh, gosh. We've been hard at work. So you mentioned Final Girl. We're hard at work getting Series 3 ready to go to print and expecting that to come out to and be ready for backers and stores later this year. We've got a number of other game projects, plenty of things keeping me busy. And then, of course, you know, family life as well. I have a wife and three boys that keep me busy. So a lot of stuff going on.
Well, let's talk about the important stuff. Of course, not family or your kids. Go ahead and describe.
No one wants to hear that.
No one wants to. I know. We never talk. Yeah, family. What can I tell you? Go ahead and tell Legion of Audience or fan base about Final Girl, because Race to Canis, I hate saying this, has been doing a great job hyping it up. How would you describe Final Girl?
So Final Girl is essentially a horror movie in a board game. But here's the best thing about it. Imagine, this is what I like to say to folks who ask about the game, which is, imagine that you could watch your favorite horror movie, or play it in a game, and it'd be different every single time. So yes, it may be the same killer, maybe it's the same final girl or heroine, but everything that happens from the moment you start to the final death, be it the killer or you, the final girl, is different. And the game it's so modular and has so many different cards and different items and things that happen different every game that you're going to get a different experience. Not only that, our whole system is modular. So you can combine the campground killer with the carnival and play any killer at any different location, currently of which there are 10 feature films. So 10 killers, 10 locations. So 100 combinations right there. With Series 3, we're adding 5 more. So it just gets exponentially larger. And the fan base just loves this. They love being able to, you know, take some of our characters and recreate kind of symbolic versions of maybe their favorite classic horror movie.
It's absolutely phenomenal. It is. I love this game so much. You know, I've talked about Hans the Butcher. Many times I've slipped in a Hans reference. And if you didn't know what that was before, now you do. Hans the Butcher is the camp killer at Camp Happy Trails for the Final
That's
Girl
right.
starter set. And he is one of my favorite characters. I watched Jason X, Jason in Space, and I immediately took the spaceship location and I took Hans the Butcher as an amalgam of a Jason Voorhees type character, and I got my butt absolutely handed to me, and thankfully in space no one could hear me cry.
And I kind of want to hear you cry, but also more importantly than all this, where can people buy this game?
So Final Girl can be purchased. We have our website, vanrydergames.com, and that's Ryder is spelled with a Y. So there's that small detail. The starter set is pretty widely available at Barnes & Noble stores. You can also find the game at your friendly local game store or your online game store, Amazon. Pretty much where you know, go type in Final Girl board game on the internet and you'll quickly find an outlet that you could purchase from.
Love it. You know, we wanted to talk about your family too, because that is really important. But we're out of time. We're out of time because we got to get to today's battle. With all that being said, Ray, please do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing Marvel Comics, the vampire who doesn't suck, Dracula. And representing Caliber Press, Image, IDW, and now Pocket Books, the hero who doesn't need multiples of himself to murder the Crow.
Well done, Ray. Now, before we go any further, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed, and the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal, with no outsider interference being allowed. Remember, you can always check out all the rules on our website at www.whowouldwinshow.tv. And before we get started, don't forget to visit the official Who Would Win store. Visit www.whowouldwinstore.com to get your hands on some great Who Would Win shirts and merch. By the way, quick announcement for Legion of Audience. We will be doing, I don't know, a big reveal of the brand new merch that is coming out very, very soon. We're targeting late June, where this new product line of Who Would Win will be made available thanks to our partners, Say Word. By the way, if you're in Milwaukee, go say hi to Benny Trelongo. Go to Say Word and buy some great stuff there. Just stay tuned because this is going to blow your minds. And now let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details for Dracula.
Dracula is the most powerful vampire in all the land. Today, I'll be talking about the Marvel Comics iteration of the character. Credited with this version's creation is Jerry Conway, Gene Colan, Marv Wolfman. That's two out of three G.I. Joe writers, I'll point out. And of course, Bram Stoker. Dracula first appeared in Marvel Comics in The Tomb of Dracula number 1 back in 1972. Now, public domain was a heck of a thing in comic books back in the day. This led to us getting knockoff characters of Robin Hood, Sherlock Holmes, Frankenstein, the Mad Hatter, and perhaps the best of all, Dracula. Originally published outside of the normal Marvel canon, it didn't take long for money to get its way, and Big Drac joined Marvel canon a few short years later. Dracula has an entire host of vampiric powers, beyond just immortality and superhuman attributes, but we'll get into those as the show goes on. Fun fact, did you know that Dracula was actually banned by the Comics Code at one point? Yes, you see, the Comics Code Authority banned the publication of all vampire comics up until 1971, when they loosened the code to allow for characters from established literary works to have comics. Well, that opened the door for Dracula to waltz right in, invited, of course, to Marvel Comics. And that is Dracula.
Very cool. Now, here are the details for The Crow. The Crow is a fictional character created by James O'Barr, first appearing in the comic book series The Crow, published by Caliber Comics in 1989, which is the version I'll be repping today. The story centers around Eric Draven, a young man who, along with his fiancée Shelley, is brutally murdered by a gang of criminals. Eric is somehow resurrected by a mystical crow 1 year after his death, granting him supernatural abilities to seek vengeance against those responsible for the tragedy. The Crow is marked by his iconic appearance with ghostly white skin, black makeup resembling a harlequin's mask, and a long black leather trench coat, which has become synonymous with the character. His connection to the crow, the actual bird, of course, a spirit guide of sorts, allows him to see through the bird's eyes and gain insights into his enemies. The character's dark, gothic aesthetic and tragic backstory have resonated with readers, making The Crow a cult classic both in comic book form and live action. And here's an interesting fact about The Crow. Did you know that there were many other actors who were supposed to reprise the role of The Crow? It's true. Look, we all know and agree that Brandon Lee was perfect for the role, which he made iconic. However, as Hollywood does, it tried to relaunch the film with a somewhat contemporary actor to helm the franchise. Mark Wahlberg was the leading man for a 2010 reboot. Then there was Bradley Cooper for 2011's reboot, then Tom Hiddleston and Luke Evans for a 2013 reboot, Jack Houston for a 2015 reboot, and finally Jason Momoa for a 2016 reboot. However, none of these actors got to move the project forward until Lionsgate had casted Bill Skarsgård as the new Eric Draven for a 2024, I guess, film release of The New Crow. Let's see how this goes. And now you have the facts on both opponents. AJ, do you have any questions before we get started?
No, this is an interesting matchup. I think I'm excited to hear you guys' arguments.
This battle's really throwing me for a loop. I don't know why. It's because I think I know The Crow really well. I do know Dracula from Marvel, but I don't know. I'm a little nervous for this matchup, which is kind of the first time for me being this way. But let's see what happens. Ray, go ahead. Hit us with your point number one.
Point number one for Big Drac. We're going to talk about his physicals because Dracula is an imposing physical creature. I would argue much more so than even the crow. So first off, talking about his strength. He has superhuman strength. Let's just keep it real. He is the Lord Host of all the vampires, more powerful than any other vampire in all of Marvel Comics. And he could basically beat them all by himself at the same time. So what does that mean? Of course, James, you mentioned it earlier, Dracula can pick up a dude and hit another dude with that dude. He can pick people up and casually throw them across the room without even thinking about it. One time I watched Dracula have a rifle pulled on him. A guy pulled like a full-on rifle on him. And all Dracula did was reach out with his hands, with one hand, yank it out of the guy's hand, and still with one hand, break it in two, just with his grip strength alone. If he gets his hands on a gun and he can break it with one hand, what can he do to a neck or an arm? Even if his supernatural opponent, he can break it easily. Hey, you want to talk about big, important, impressive comic book feats? He overpowered a character named Colossus, a titan made of metal, and strength is his power. He caught a punch from Colossus and then threw him straight backwards. What are we talking about? If you could overpower Colossus, what does Eric Draven stand to do against you? And he's violent. He rips people's heads off casually. I've seen like a dozen times when he's just fighting and he's like, and I'm just going to remove this head like it was nothing. Like I would pour a Pepsi Max into a cup. He just rips a guy's head right off. It said that he hits with the anguish of 500 years to the point where if he hits you, you do not survive. I understand Eric Draven is undead, but you get my meaning. Speed-wise, at one point he was facing Blade. Blade, the half-vampire super-powered character we all know and love, was facing him. No surprises here. But Dracula was so fast, he grabbed Blade's neck before he could even react to him. Blade said afterwards that Dracula moves in eye blinks, not time. That's outrageous. And he also has enhanced senses. It's said that he can hear an insect's footsteps, and he can sense the presence of others with a sixth sense on top of the powerful first five. And let's talk about skill briefly, because when he has a sword in his hand, which he often does, he is nigh invulnerable, invincible. He beat the Black Knight. We all know the Black Knight that's going to be Jon Snow in the MCU, right? We don't know that yet, but we do. And he beat the Black Knight in a sword fight. An entire guy whose entire deal was being a great sword fighter. Beat him. He beat Deadpool. He beat Deadpool in a sword fight and ran him through. He snuck up on Blade at a later time, a guy with enhanced senses of his own, and shoved a sword through his chest so fast that Blade didn't even move. He didn't have time to react to it. He just suddenly had a sword through his chest. Obviously, in one-on-one fights, Dracula bodies and takes down Blade all the time, and Blade is amazing. He once one-shot KO'd Nightcrawler with a punch. One time, he grabbed Spider-Man and punted him like an NFL kicker and knocked him into another zip code. Spider-Man afterwards says, "I've never been hit so hard by a guy with a ponytail." Now, that's impressive. Because I bet Spider-Man's fought a lot of guys with ponytails. At the end of the day, physically, Dracula, before even bringing powers into it, is too much for the Crow to handle. Way more than the Crow typically deals with. And that's my point number one.
See, this is why I love Marvel so much. DC too. But Marvel did a great job with taking, you know, a character that we thought we had seen in so many iterations in so many different ways and just did something wonderful with it. Now, although I love the character, Ray, you're talking about a couple of outliers here, things that happen once and that aren't really part of the character's real continuity or aren't canon to the character. For example, Marvel lists his super strength as being where he can lift 4 tons. Maybe he can enhance it if he drinks a certain type of blood. I don't know. But that's typically where his strength starts and kind of ends. So that outlier with Colossus or Spider-Man, I'm not really sure that's common for the character. You know, you say he hits with the anguish of 500 years. Sounds like Dracula and I went to the same high school, you know, whatever, that's fine. It's all good. And when it comes to swords, yeah, I do think Dracula is definitely an amazing combatant, much better than your average combatant, especially if you go with traditional weaponry, which is what his specialty is. But that's the problem. He's got specialties. And as long as you fight within his paradigm, if you will, I'm using big words today,
wow,
you're not going to do too well. But the moment you go outside that paradigm, things don't go so well for Dracula, and guess who's outside the paradigm? The Crow. So let me get to my point number one. And for my point number one for the Crow, let's just talk about the powers of the Crow, because Ray did a great job with Dracula. Let's do this for the Crow. Now, he's near invulnerable, and I think that just means he's invulnerable. Look, he's undead, and the Crow doesn't need to eat or sleep. He's incapable of feeling pain, except for the tortured memories of his own untimely demise and depression from losing their loved ones. But other than that, he feels nothing and no pain. By the way, the Crow can instantly recover from any harm, no matter how great the damage. His skin and bones are reportedly many times stronger than that of a regular human. It's also very possible, being undead and vulnerable, the Crow is also immortal, which just goes to show how well these characters kind of match up together. The Crow can also change into a crow, an actual bird, and possess the natural abilities of the Crow itself. That includes flight and night vision, because why not? Now, you're talking about super strength. The Crow's got super strength. Now, if I had to guess, his baseline is somewhere between Captain America and Spider-Man in terms of super strength, very similar to Dracula's. But what's really cool about the Crow, he's got this, I just call it otherworldly source of super strength, super durability, whatever it is. And whatever he's fighting against, he can rise up to the occasion, match, and then overpower. Remember, he's being fueled by some force of vengeance. It's not like, you know, a physical representation of something like Dracula. There's some otherworldly power feeding into the Crow, giving him these abilities, which makes him have a great baseline of superhuman physicals and then go way above and beyond. More on that later. Of course, the Crow also has supernaturally enhanced senses. He's exceptionally skilled at hunting down and eliminating a target. You know, he shares the senses with his the Crow itself. So again, he's got better sight. He's got a great sense of hearing as well. Really hard to sneak up on the Crow because he has so many different vantage points where he can see you both with his own eyes and through the Crow itself. He's got superhuman agility, superhuman speed and reflexes. Look, he's super hard to hit. He reacts super fast. He's just a really hard target. On top of that, he's got this cool power. I don't know what you would call it. I'm just going to call it like tactile empathy and telepathy. And what he can do is he can touch someone and he can make that person or that thing or whatever he's touching, supernatural being, relive their most painful, whatever experiences in their life, but magnified exponentially. And we saw him do this in the movie. He actually does in the comic books as well, where he touches someone's face, like, feel the pain of blah, 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 whatever that thing is. And then it's just all, like, if it's a 30-day experience, whatever, it's patched into 1 to 5 seconds of insane, I don't know, psycho pain, whatever it is. But it just rips someone's inside, their mind completely apart, and physically as well. He's also got this regenerative healing factor. It's hard to hurt the Crow, but we saw this as well in the movie, and it also carries over the comic books. You can injure him, blow a hole in him, if you even can. It takes like a gun to do it. But guess what? He instantly heals from it. Now, I'm not saying Dracula doesn't have a healing factor, but it comes at a cost. And here's the cool thing, because the Crow doesn't have any type of issue with stamina. Remember, the Crow's undead. He's not getting tired. He doesn't need to refuel. He can go at his peak indefinitely. The same can't be said for Dracula, which is a really interesting point. And finally, look, on top of all of this, he's an insane fighter. He's a master combatant, and he possesses superhuman marksmanship. For whatever reason, when someone is resurrected as the Crow, they are given this download of supernatural combative knowledge. And this includes firearms, weapons, traditional weapons, swords, whatever it is, but also improvised weapons where he can use anything around him with this supernatural Google being fed to him, whatever it is, that says, hey, whatever you need to fight with, whatever's around you, you've got it, and we're going to pump you up so you get the win. It's a really cool character because he looks awesome, but he also kind of gets pumped up for whatever he's facing. Again, I'll explain more of that later. Look, as cool as Dracula is, especially the Marvel version, he's never faced off against another supernatural threat quite like the Crow. All of that is my point number one.
I mean, I disagree with that last statement a ton. Look, he's faced off with characters like Blade. What do you mean he's never faced somebody like the Crow before? Blade is pretty much the Crow, but a better fighter and better physicals. And he takes him out all the time. And this is what I asked the question first and foremost. Who does the Crow even fight? Because I've got Dracula taking down Deadpool, Colossus, Blade, Spider-Man. And I looked at this list here of the Crow's big villains, and that is T-Bird, Fun Boy, Tintin, Tom-Tom, and Top Dollar. It's not exactly a who's who rogues gallery of power that we're talking. It's a small street gang that lacks superpowers. Of course the Crow was able to take them all out. And I love, James, you like to posit that these battles are going to go on for weeks and months on end and never stop. What are you talking about? I don't care if the Crow can go slightly longer in a week-long battle. This is a battle that will be determined in 10 minutes or less. Endurance will never be a factor in. Oh, the Crow can make Dracula feel pain? Dracula feels pain always. It's his thing. He hits you with 500 years of pain. I would say that making Dracula feel pain will make him hit you even harder. Outrageous. So I think you're playing straight into Dracula's hands so far. but we'll see what happens.
All right, great stuff from both Ray and myself, and really emphasizing on myself. But let's see what the judge has to say. AJ, you've heard one point so far from both Ray and I. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
So I'm soaking it all in, a little bit of a sponge, getting all the information. I do have some questions, I think, for Ray on yes. Dracula, because I want to make sure I understand. I do like Marvel quite a bit, although I'm not too familiar with Dracula's piece of Marvel. So what I would like to understand is Dracula in the Marvel universe subject to the same kind of weaknesses we know about typically with Dracula? Like, is garlic a thing? Is a stake through the heart a thing? And then abilities-wise, you know, James mentioned the crow turns into a crow. Does Dracula turn into a bat in Marvel? Like, help sure. me understand if there are any differences to kind of Bram Stoker's traditional versus the Marvel one.
Absolutely. Now, he does have some vampiric weaknesses, of course. You know, he obviously needs to hide away from sunlight. And so therefore, this battle, let's keep it real, this battle's going to happen at night. No one thought it wasn't. Things like stakes, crucifixes, holy water, they can hurt him as well as a garlic, which will prevent him from changing forms. He does change forms. I'll talk about that in one of my later points. So I'll sandbag that just a little bit. He does have okay. some traditional vampire weaknesses, but two things. One, he has a lesser version of it because he's the most powerful of all the vampires. And two, the crow is not exactly known for like swinging bags of garlic around.
Okay. Great. And James, so you've also kind of painted the crow as, I mean, we're talking about the battle of two immortals here, right? So
pretty much.
So Ray brings up the good point of, you know, who has he fought? And I think part of that is the Marvel universe is just more well known. So I don't honestly know if some of those names he rolled off are powerful villains or not. But I am interested also in hearing what have the crow's struggles been, or when has he been sort of prone to some weakness, or has any of those villains kind of shown a potential way to defeat him?
So the biggest weakness that the crow has, because we saw this in the movie, right, where if someone grabs the crow and hurts the bird, the crow, his spirit guide, what have you, that can affect Eric Draven. That doesn't actually translate into the comic books whatsoever. On top of that, that's not something Dracula's going to know about. But again, it's not that same kind of weakness. The big weakness for the crow, which he overcomes, is he does face off against some insanely powerful opponents. And then he rises to the occasion to beat them. And I'll be discussing that in my next couple of points.
Okay, got it. Let's roll on then.
All right, this battle is heating up. Stay tuned for point number two.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. Ray, let's see what you got. Hit us with your point number two.
Point number two for Dracula. We're going to talk a lot about his durability, because you did mention that the crow is mostly immortal, but the crow can feel pain. The crow can be affected by pain a lot more than Dracula can. Dracula tends to shrug off wounds and heal from them. The crow will heal from these wounds. He does have a healing factor of some kind, but he always feels that pain and does get affected by getting slapped around and shot and what have you, for sure. In fact, I would argue that Dracula has the best pain tolerance in history. This is a guy who's been around for decades, after centuries, after nearly millennia, right? And he keeps on going, and everybody's trying to take a shot at Dracula. It has been said that his pain tolerance is so strong that over the course of his life, he has suffered 100,000 men's worth of pain. I don't know exactly what that means, but it sounded impressive, and I wanted to say it on the show. Now, if you shoot Dracula, now Draven uses a lot of guns, the crow uses a lot of guns, nothing happens. If you knife Dracula, nothing happens. If you try to blow him up, nothing happens. It's like he has an immunity to bullets and knives that I've never even seen before. He once got struck by a car going 60 miles per hour, run over, and he just got up and hurt the person who ran him over. It was a very shocking moment. But how do you possibly keep this guy down? You really can't. Oh, you would think, oh, fire. Fire's a good weakness of vampires, isn't it? Oh, sure. A guy set him on fire. He was ablaze. And then after like a minute, he's like, why aren't you dead? Why are you still around? Why are we still fighting? I set you on fire. Nobody watching could believe that Dracula could just be on fire like the lead singer of Rammstein at one of his concerts and still keep on fighting. Did you know that Dracula once faced off with Omega-level mutant Storm and she struck him with lightning? Lightning, that would surely work. No, he tanked it as usual and he kept on fighting. But it's not just physical durability, mental defenses as well. He has a magical defense. If somebody tries to come after him, it took the form of a wolf and it bit Doctor Strange. It was fantastic. But also Doctor Strange trapped him in a mind spell and Dracula, no problem, just broke himself out of it and kept on going. But physically, let's keep going there. He got run through by Old Man Logan's claws. I forgot that he showed up in Old Man Logan's story, but he did, and Logan speared him with his claws. No problem. He just talked to him and kept on going. Heck, Dracula once stood on the surface of the moon without a spacesuit and was fine. He got staked through his heart, what normally could take down a vampire, but it took several stakes to finally stop him in that moment. One stake, not enough. Just like me at Ruth's Chris. The point I'm trying to make here is obviously on top of everything, he's a vampire. He's got full regeneration and he does it very, very quickly. We've seen other vampires. You know it's coming, James. We've seen a different vampire in Marvel fall from space, get turned into a skeleton by Earth's orbit, hit the ground, and within two pages of comic was up and walking around again. Now that was a different vampire, but I will point out Dracula is the best vampire. So if you've seen another vampire do it in Marvel Comics, Dracula can not only do it, he can do it better than they can. And if you can survive a fall from Earth's orbit and get up within a page or two and keep on going back full health again, I still question what Eric Draven can do against Dracula that will keep him down for the count. And that's my point number two.
Okay, really great stuff you're presenting here for Dracula, but here's the real facts about a few different things. Now, in terms of durability and feeling pain, you know, the comic book version of the crow that I'm representing today doesn't actually feel pain. I already kind of established that earlier on. And that's really cool because he can just tank anything and just keeps on going because, again, he's fueled by some type of vengeful, supernatural, I don't know what it is, some force that is embodied within him. On top of that, you know, what's really cool, Dracula does have a healing factor, but it's not an instant healing factor. It's not like a Wolverine or Deadpool style healing factor. So in Marvel, where if he does have like a puncture wound or something goes through him, he may not be like feeling the pain as much as like a human would, of course, because he's Dracula and he's awesome. But that is still going to slow him down a little bit. And it's going to take minutes for that to heal up. Remember, in a who-would-win match, you just have to incapacitate your opponent for 2 minutes and stand there so you're not threatened to actually get the win. So it's going to take Dracula minutes to heal back to normal, whereas the crow, you know, like I said, heals instantly from this. Dracula can also be beaten into submission and, you know, have parts of him ripped off. He's actually been physically beaten before. That's a huge factor in this. And also, remember, Dracula has a susceptibility to supernatural attacks, even if they're energy-based. So physical lightning that's based off, like, scientific principles like physics, whatever, that's really cool. He can tank that. But supernatural attacks, that's not something he has the same durability against. Just keeping that in mind. Now, let me get to my point number two. My point number two, let's just talk about the crow, the bird that is with Eric the whole time, just the crow itself. So the crow is a mystical bird somehow, and it acts as Eric Draven's spirit guide. It's the entity that brings Eric back from the dead to avenge his and Shelley's murders. And the crow, again, the actual bird, has some interesting abilities. Now, In season one episode, I think we did the Who and Show, it was Bloodshot versus Wolverine. One of the things that Bloodshot did, which was really cool, he has these nanites who would provide insight to Bloodshot in the form of a hallucination of his dead wife, dead son, some other person that was meaningful to him. The nanites through the hallucination acted as a guide and a source of information to Bloodshot so he can access different ways of interacting with his environment, seeing things different from different perspectives. That's what the Crow does here. He has something very similar, maybe even better in this particular battle. The Crow has, you know, again, this flying bird that communicates with Eric through supernatural means. I don't think they're having actual conversations, but there is a communication happening. And this Crow, the spirit guide, is an information provider, the second opinion, if you will, that provides Eric all of that pivotal information he needs to better understand his opponents, as well as to see different approaches to take on when fighting them. Look, is the Crow going to say, oh, look, a vampire, Dracula? I don't think that's actually going to happen, but I do think the Crow will be like, wait a second, Dracula just kind of moved really fast. Dracula's over there in mist form, or is a bat over here. The Crow is going to give him that extrasensory advantage so that Dracula can't do anything too surprising. It's like Crow clairvoyance, if you will. The bird themselves act as that guide, the informant, and especially when they're dealing with the dead and all things supernatural. That's really the bread and butter of the Crow, is dealing with opponents who are from some type of supernatural source, and that is 100% Dracula. So as Eric's fighting Dracula, the actual Crow is going to be transmitting information to him. Eric's going to quickly find out that Dracula is this powerful supernatural opponent, as I mentioned, and that traditional means of destroying a human won't work. He's going to get that and figure that out way quicker than anyone else will. In fact, the actual Crow is going to quickly see that an entirely different strategy and type of attack is going to be needed in this battle, which is great. By the way, Dracula's stealth, his method of attacks, as great as they are, it's all negated by the Crow using that supernatural clairvoyance, or just by the fact that the Crow will have an aerial view the whole time and see where Dracula is and was. Okay, now look, Eric can also transform into a Crow, and then he gains that natural abilities of the bird. He's flying around, he's using night vision, and of course, he's done this in comic books where he flies up above in the city to get a better view of what's happening, to get out of something, to gather intelligence. It's a really versatile thing. And of course, I was thinking, okay, well, if Dracula turns into a bat, and then all of a sudden you have Eric turning into a Crow, bat versus Crow. I'm going with the Crow on this one, especially if they're both supernatural. So the Crow also does something really cool. It provides Eric with this kind of precognition kind of supernatural device for Eric to better understand what they're about to face ahead of time. This isn't the same as, hey, I'm seeing this thing and here's what my observation is. No. The Crow can also kind of transmit information and be like, hey, you're about to face off against this. Get ready for it. I wouldn't say it's like a Spider-Man Spidey sense, but it's definitely something that alerts him to what's happening and also tells him, hey, you better up it, or you better do this, or what have you. So he's got that really cool, I don't know, coach on his ear type of thing. The real point overall is that the Crow is an extra, I don't know how you want to put it, source of information, almost like a supernatural AI / Google / whatever you want to call it, that is feeding all this tactical knowledge, warning Eric of what he's about to do, telling him how to up his power if he needs to as well. This is going to be the real advantage that the Crow has, because when you get in this fight, Dracula is not going to really know what he's facing against Eric. For all intents and purposes, Dracula might be thinking he's facing another vampire, although Eric, the Crow, is something so much different and so much more. All of that is my point number two.
Okay. No, I really like the Crow. I like the Crow in comics. It's kind of an adult comic book, you know. But there are a couple things I got to push back real hard on here, James. First off, you say Dracula was beaten into submission, but you didn't tell us by who, did you? There's a big difference between being beaten into submission by a couple of random bikers in a gang and by Marvel's Hercules, right? There's a massive difference between those two statements, and you just trying to equate, well, he's been beaten down before. Until you tell us who did it, you got to kind of grain of salt that, because there are some heavy hitters in the Marvel universe, and the Crow is a fear-based character like a Batman. So when he's tormenting these biker gangs and these, you know, groups of ne'er-do-wells, they're going to be afraid of him. And he's going to use that fear against them to the point where he doesn't have to do very much at all. But fear's not going to work on the master vampire Dracula, who also uses fear in his game. So I think a major part of Draven's psychological attack is going to be thrown right out the window. And despite what you said earlier, that Crow that he uses as his familiar can absolutely be harmed. Other iterations of the Crow, if the Crow got shot, then it's like they got shot. If the Crow got marked up, like cut, then they got cut themselves and they didn't regenerate from it. And guess who has the power of flight? Dracula, once he uses his super senses and his magical senses to realize that crow is important, he's just going to fly up there and eat it. He's going to eat it, James. He's going to eat that crow.
Only one eating crow is you after these battles. All right, we are at the turning point. See what I did there? And this is where we get our judge, AJ, to tell us who they think is ahead in this fight and what the other side has to do to gain the victory.
Oh, man, you guys are cracking me up. This is great. This is a great back and forth. Some really great points made. I do feel like in some ways this is a little bit of a mirror match. I mean, there's a lot of the similar points coming out. I think at this point in the game, I give a slight edge to Dracula. Dracula is, you know, Ray's made a lot of good points about Dracula's powers and what a force he is. And, you know, he really got me with the overpower. I'm a huge X-Men fan. And when he said he overpowered Colossus, to me, that was like, oh, whoa, that's a big deal. However, this is a close match and the crow is not far behind at all. And you could easily pull this back, James. And your last point was really strong. The crow as a kind of an extra ally, extra set of eyes and ears it could be a big advantage. Yes, Ray, Dracula could fly up there and eat him, but he might not necessarily know he's there or where he is. So I don't think we can make the assumption that he's just going to be able to see him and go figure that out.
This is interesting. Again, there's way more in common with these characters when you look at the power sets and capabilities than are things that are different. So this is, again, a very intriguing battle. Let's see what's going to happen. Stay tuned for point number three.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. Ray, it's now or never. Hit us with your point number three.
James, you always say stay tuned for point number three. The people are in the middle of listening to a podcast that they're invested in. Are they really going somewhere just because we took a commercial break? Do they really just flip it off and be like, ah, I'm done? And like, oh, James told me to stay. I'm going to stick around. Is that necessary?
I have a very convincing voice, Ray Stekanis.
Well, I'm convinced to stay. Point number three, the difference between these two characters, and it couldn't be starker, that's the power sets. The abilities. I've only been talking about physical stuff with Dracula so far, and I think physically he can get it done. But when you add in all of his vampiric powers, he just is a Swiss Army knife of what he can do compared to the much more straightforward The Crow. First off, he's the lord of all vampires. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Anything you've ever seen a vampire do, he does better. He's more powerful. It's established. If all the other vampires in the world tried to take down Dracula, they would fail. And not only can he take them all out, he can kind of control them too. He can tell them what to do and they'll listen. Could he summon other vampires to join in this battle? Heck, James, if Draven has a crow, why doesn't Dracula get a half dozen powerful vampires to show up and then fight with him as a conjuring? Why not? But besides all that, Dracula, as you mentioned, can shapeshift at will. Literally with the power of a thought, he can change his form. Now he uses this mostly for defense and tracking purposes. Not a lot of offense that I was able to find. Now, he's turning into mist. He's turning into mist. How does the crow deal with a guy made of mist whenever he feels like it? This allowed him to dodge Wolverine, who was jumping at him at the time. He just turned to mist, and he went right through him. Turning to mist, he could stop the breathing of other people. He could actually, like, put water in their lungs, essentially, but that water is him. It's weird. I don't think that's how he's going to beat the crow, but it's weird, and I had to say it. He can also turn into a bat, which allowed him to go very, very fast. He actually tailed Blade, who was riding a motorcycle at the time, and kept up with him. In fact, that bat has been said to move at blinding speeds. But on top of turning into a bat, he also has animal control of his own. I know the crow can handle crows. Well, Dracula handles all the animals. Rats, spiders, wolves, why not? Birds as well. He can control animals just like the crow. Who's to say that Dracula can't control the crow because he's just more powerful with that sort of animal telepathy than the crow is? But he also has night vision as well. I don't know if the crow can see in the dark, but if he can't, Dracula's going to mess him up. Not to mention mind powers. He has the ability, Dracula does, to control the will of others. He looks you in the eye, he mesmerizes you, he hypnotizes you, and you succumb to his will, to his whims. You will do what he tells you to do. You will effectively become his thrall. I like Eric Draven, but he is a mentally fractured and weak individual. Let's face it, he turns to substances of abuse to handle some of the problems going on in his own mind. That makes him a ripe candidate for mental takeover. He might even say, let it happen because I'm tired of dealing with all of this pain. But besides that, he has control over the weather. I mentioned storms hitting him with lightning. He can hit lightning as well. He can drop lightning out of the sky and hit things like crows in the air or crows on the street. He once wiped out a town, wiped out an entire modern town with just weather. He hit it with like a tsunami and it was washed away. So if we talk about battlefield removal, what's the crow going to do when he's carried away in a tsunami off the battlefield? And the final thing to mention, of course, he has magic, magical powers. He once animated a golem made out of clay. He animated a golem made out of clay. He can take inanimate objects and make them attack for him. And he also has those mystical defenses that I mentioned earlier. Doctor Strange was trying to do some voodoo stuff to him, and he just, a wolf naturally escaped his body, like a magic wolf that Spider-Man couldn't even touch, and it bit Doctor Strange like on the face. It was crazy. So with all of this together, the crow, he can withstand a lot of punishment. He's terrifying. He can hurt people really bad, but I don't think he matches up well against other superpowered characters because he doesn't really face those in his own stories. But Dracula faces them every day and dominates them. That's a huge difference, and that's my point number three.
All right, good stuff. And luckily, I've got some familiar with the Marvel version of Dracula to kind of answer back some of this. So again, you know, sure, he can change form. That mist can go into whatever, people's lungs, whatever. Ray, I actually agree with you on this. That's not going to affect the crow, Eric Draven, because he doesn't need to breathe.
Right.
This stuff
right.
doesn't affect him. So it's all good there. You talked about him turning into a bat. Again, I like the whole, hey, Dracula turns into a bat, Eric turns into a crow, we can have an animalistic battle, although I don't think that's going to happen. I just thought that would be kind of cool. Now, the crow, the bird itself, isn't going to be controlled by Dracula because it's not actually a crow as much as a supernatural being that's taking the form of a crow. So it's not going to be just a pure animal that Dracula can take over. Again, it's a supernatural force of vengeance of some sort. It's almost like what fuels Ghost Rider in this battle. And the crow, you know, can easily see in the dark, by the way. So remember, he's got that eyesight that he can use from the crow, the bird itself, so he can see in the dark and see far, and he's got better eyesight than most. And as far as mind control goes, again, the supernatural bird, or lack thereof, protects him against mind control. So taking over his mind, whatever, you're not even going to get inside of it. Never mind take it over. He's got defenses. And animating objects with magic, that I love about Dracula. He is a magic user, but he needs time to do it and he needs materials to do it. Both things that he won't have in a random encounter in a neutral location, you know, such as this battle with no time for prep. Now, before I get to my point number three, Dracula of the Marvel character has been beaten by quite a few people, you know, because he's got almost like a 50-year history or over a 50-year history in Marvel, and that happens. But the one character that I think that did beat him, that clearly, that also would kind of say like, okay, that's comparable to the crow, is Wolverine. And Wolverine beat him through using his claws, but cutting him and just physically dominating him. And it could be one of a dozen different fights they've had together because they've had a number of encounters. But Wolverine has a definite win over Dracula through just a physical beatdown. Now, let me get to my point number three. And my point number three, let's talk about some big wins for the crow. Dracula's specific weaknesses for this and the crow's secret weapon. Now, you're not going to be familiar with these characters if you're not familiar with the comic book, but they are straight from the crow comic book series. And they are very, very powerful beings the crow has beat. So the first one I'm going to call is called Kali. And this is from the Crow City of Angels comic book series. Kali possessed superhuman strength, agility, superhuman combat skills. I believe it was all of a supernatural nature as well. And the Crow just used his superior strength, his regenerative healing, his relentless fighting spirit and stamina to outlast her in a crazy battle, defeating her because she just got too tired after this long battle where she's throwing everything at the Crow and the Crow could tank it and just answer back. So eventually he just outlasted her due to superior stamina. Again, that's a supernatural being. There's a character named Judah Earl. Now, Judah had absorbed powers from multiple Crows. I'm talking about people who were brought back and they were the Crow. And this guy somehow figured out how to absorb a bunch of their powers, a number of Crows. And this made him crazy powerful. So Eric had to use his strategy, his combat skills, his really crazy fighting abilities that he got supernaturally. And he beat Judah in that final confrontation because the Eric Draven version of the Crow is not your regular version of the Crow. Oh, no, this is someone who might be the peak fighting ability in terms of what the Crow is. These are the big ones, by the way. The Crow has beaten actual angels. And angels in the Crow universe, I believe, are the most powerful beings there. So the first angel he beat, character named Lola Byrne, as a fallen angel, she had mystical abilities, magical control, whatever, superhuman physicals. And again, Eric relied on his agility, his reflexes. He evaded her attacks. He uses his enhanced senses to anticipate her moves, almost Spider-Man-like. And then he beat her through a combination of fighting skills and, again, this relentless determination. See, this is why I compare Eric Draven, the Crow, with Wolverine, because what do both of them have in common? Well, it's not just the healing factor. They are relentless, and they have crazy stamina, and they won't stop until they get the job done. And finally, he beat another angel called Luke Crash, fallen angel, if you will, crazy supernatural powers. And again, Eric just did what he did, but he did something really cool. He tapped into an upgrade that's available to him and upgraded his power to be able to match his. See, this is what the Crow can do. The Crow and the vengeance, the spirit of vengeance the Crow has, this is something that gives Eric the ability to say, hey, your baseline's not doing it, your baseline of power, here's an upgrade, and here's how you're going to do it. Because this is something I'll mention in a second, he's got that upgrade of power. Now, before I get to that, Dracula has a couple of key weaknesses that play into Eric's strength. Firstly, Dracula's greatest weakness is that he has to ingest about 1/4 of fresh blood in order to maintain his overall crazy power. The more he fights the Crow, the more he needs to ingest new blood from a living human because he'll be depleting it really, really quickly. And when Dracula is fighting someone who can match him in terms of power and supernatural abilities of the Crow can, Dracula is going to be using up that blood supply really, really fast. He's going to need to refuel at some point in this fight. In other words, he's going to start to get weaker and weaker the longer the fight goes on. But the Crow, yeah, the Crow is never going to get tired and will be just that relentless at the beginning, all the way through the middle to the end of that fight. Secondly, Dracula takes minutes to heal from injuries. I already mentioned this, but he's going to take a lot of physical damage and it takes minutes to heal from stuff, whereas the Crow can heal instantly. Again, over time, the Dracula is going to be taking a lot of damage and going to be needing that blood refuel, but he's not going to have access to it. These are huge factors. Now, here's the one thing the Crow has in this advantage, as an advantage in this fight. The Crow has that way to upgrade his power. See, here's the thing. The Crow is an emotionally tied being, spiritually, emotionally, what have you, to the spirit and how he feels for Shelley, who got killed. So whenever he needs to tap into something, if he's ever losing that fight against those angels I mentioned before, he taps into that feeling, those feelings he has, the same feelings Race to Canis has for Pepsi Max and Burger King burgers and Whoppers and what have you. And then all of a sudden, he gets an upgrade in power that makes him exponentially more powerful, stronger, more durable, faster. And on top of that, now he can start to blast things and emit energy blasts of supernatural energy, which does affect and hurt Dracula. Because again, against supernatural energy, that's not something Dracula can tank as well as physical, scientific-based energy like lightning strikes and what have you. Look, all this put together, the fighting experience, the skill, everything else, never mind the upgrade in power, never mind the fact that he's outlasted more powerful opponents than Dracula in forms of fallen angels, shows me that the Crow wins this, Dracula loses. All that together is my point number three.
So wait a minute. Well, what supernatural attacks is the Crow using here? Just because he's a supernatural being doesn't mean his punches and kicks suddenly are imbued with mystical supernatural energy. If that was the case, everything Dracula did would be that exact same way. So I think you're positing a little bit more than reality would actually show. You talk about minutes to heal, no shot. Look, if he gets like run through with a cross through his torso, it might take him an hour to heal. But he shakes off bullets and all the other attacks that Eric Draven would do. So I'm not really clear on how he's being brought down. Now, one thing you mentioned, James, is the fact that Dracula is so much older than The Crow and even The Spirit of The Crow, really, in that he has way more combat experience. He's been fighting a much more wide berth of characters than The Crow has, and has been successful in it and stayed alive as an undead vampire, even when the world knows his weaknesses, right? At least the Marvel world does. The Crow's world might not. I'm going to go back to the fact that right here, the fractured mental state of Eric Draven, it's his one weakness, his instability, his insanity. He is ravaged with guilt and sadness, and in his own way wishes for it all to be over. That makes him a prime candidate for mind control and mind powers. And not just that, you harm the Crow and he loses all of his supernatural powers. I think Dracula will figure that out with his super senses. This guy can hear insects walking. He can't tell that he's communicating with a crow. I think he would learn that. Now, the big last thing to say here is that what really struck me is that the Crow cannot die a natural death. That is sort of the idea behind the Crow. Well, guess who isn't natural? Dracula. I think Dracula could beat him down, weaken him, and then bite his neck, drain him of blood, and give him the unnatural death that Eric Draven will welcome, because it means his pain will be over.
Yeah, I've already answered a number of those points you just brought up.
But not very well, so I had to beat on them again.
That's fair. Listen, we've got to see what the judge has to say, because you've heard 3 points from both myself, AJ. It's time for you to make a decision, but before we get to what AJ has to say, let's celebrate the Who Would Win Patron of the Week. Every week, we choose one of our amazing members from the Who Would Win Show's Patreon community and put them in a battle. Ray, which patron do we have today?
Today, we have a very special patron. We are going to go all the way back to friend of the show, Delvin Cox, also a fan of Final Girl. He asked, because he heard that AJ would be here today, if he could be a second judge on the show just to hang out, and I had the pleasure to tell him no.
Oh.
Delvin Cox, you're our patron of the week.
You are a monster, Ray. You know, out of Dracula, The Crow, and whatever I had for dinner, you're the biggest monster on today's episode. All right. Well, since it's Delvin Cox, and Delvin is known as the smartest person on the internet, and also a very classy guy on top of everything, let's have him go against a classy vampire. Let's have Delvin Cox go up against the vampire Lestat.
Vampire Lestat. That's one of my favorite vampires. I don't think he gets enough run because people don't respect him. We've had him on the show before. He was a wonderful rep by me. Great job, me. I'm pretty great. The point I'm trying to make here is when Delvin Cox faces down with the vampire Lestat, Delvin is going to be entranced. Let's just keep it real. Much like Eric Draven would be entranced by Dracula, Delvin Cox would be entranced by the vampire Lestat. So Delvin's going to all of a sudden beckon to his word. He's going to start going to vampire parties. He's going to have Lestat on his own Delvin Cox Experience podcast. And he's going to have him on as a great guest. He's going to say 5 fun things, questions for you, the vampire Lestat. This just doesn't even take the form of a battle anymore. They're just hanging out at his apartment, doing a podcast. And that's when he asks him 4 questions in a row, and Lestat's talking about his history in France and in the war and New Orleans and all this stuff. And then finally, question number 5. Delvin Cox is going to say, "Are you ready to die?" And Lestat's like, "What do you mean?" And that's when he gets staked in the heart. Delvin Cox, you actually win this battle by using your podcasting skills. This is incredible. Incredible upset. Delvin Cox, you're our patron of the week.
Congratulations, Delvin. I had no doubt in my mind that you would come out victorious of this. Remember, you too can become a celebrated patron of the week. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and sign up, and you may be featured in an upcoming episode of Who Would Win. AJ, it's time for your decision. Take us through your process, tell us the story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this battle between Dracula and the Crow.
All right. Yeah. No, great job, guys. And I'm very excited to judge on this. Actually, have you guys heard of the PFWBHC? Is this convention the Pasty Fellows with Black Hair convention?
I would go.
And they choose a champion at that convention. So I actually was at this convention. And Dracula and the Crow were there. And the convention was like getting held up all the time because Dracula couldn't come before it was dark. And everyone's like waiting around for him to come compete. And the Crow figured this out. So he started having his Crow like spy on Dracula. So the Crow is actually going to come into this with, he does have some background information. He does see, wait, this guy's showing up at night. Like, what's going on? So these two guys, like they become the finalists of this championship, and the voters vote. And oh, and by the way, I was there waiting for the Pacey Fellows with Blonde Hair competition that was happening right after that. I don't have black hair, but I was just there as an observer. But anyway, so the announcement comes, and the winner is Dracula, and Dracula wins, and the Crow is just all pissed off. You know, he's got another reason for vengeance now. He leaves the building, and he kind of goes, and he goes atop the buildings and kind of waiting. The celebration happens, the party after Dracula's party with all his friends, maybe draining a few, you know, girls there in the back to resupply. And finally, kind of, you know, it's getting late. It's time for Dracula to come out, head back to Transylvania. So he comes out, and the Crow just has him lined up. You know, he's no stranger to guns. And so the Crow's taking aim from the building, and with a sniper rifle, just fires one straight into Dracula's head, thinking, you know, maybe this will do the job. It's done the job in the past. Why not? Well, when the bullet basically bounces off Dracula's head, and he kind of scratches it as if it was an itch, and instantly kind of looks up and knows the trajectory of the bullet and can see the Crow, the battle really begins at that point. The Crow knows he's not going to be able to use firearms, not going to be able to use man-made weapons to win this battle. The only way he can get vengeance for losing the Pasty Fellows with Black Hair competition is to go down and go toe-to-toe, hand-to-hand with Dracula. So he jumps down, and these two guys square off. Dracula has no idea who this guy is, other than someone he just beat in the competition. So he has no knowledge really of what's even happening here. It's just a gnat to be squashed to Dracula. But his hubris may be what gets the best of him, because the spiritual Crow has been doing some reconnaissance and has seen what Dracula needs, and has seen, oh, he needs to go back and sleep in a coffin at night and can't come out during the day. So the Crow knows he just needs this battle to last until the sun comes up to win the battle. And he also knows that he has the endurance to be able to do that. And he can rise to the occasion, as James pointed out so many times. So this battle begins, and these guys are trading blows, and the Crow's pulling out all the intelligence he has and using stakes and garlic and whatever he can to stop Dracula, because it's the only way in a straight up fight Dracula would just beat the Crow. Now, but the Crow is immortal as well. So he basically turns into the bat, forcing the Crow, turning the Crow and follow after him. And they fly and they battle all throughout the night. And Dracula leads him all the way back to his castle. And the battle continues. When they get inside the castle, they turn back into their normal selves, and the battle rages on. And they battle until they get into Dracula's room, where his coffins are, and his, you know, he has his coffin, the bride's coffin, and he overpowers the Crow, throws him in the coffin, and slams it shut, locking it, because he knows by now that he can't kill the Crow, so he's going to trap him for eternity at the sacrifice of his beloved coffin. So now he's going to have to go get a new coffin to sleep in. It's not going to be a fun night for him. There's not much of the night left, because the Crow did almost pull off keeping him outside until the sun came up. But ultimately, Dracula got back before sunup, and that's how the battle ended. So the winner of this battle is Dracula.
There you go.
Wow. You know, I'm trying to analyze this, because the story that you told is fantastic. And truthfully, there's only one area, one real area that I think Dracula outdoes the Crow, regardless of the supernatural combat skills that the Crow has. And that's in experience. Surely the Marvel version has experienced people who you like, Wolverine, who you can't put down. So how do you beat Wolverine? Like, if you really have to, you trap him somewhere. You know, the Punisher's done it. He's trapped Wolverine.
I was about to say, how did the Punisher take down Wolverine? He surprised him, shot him in the face with a shotgun, and then when he was recovering, ran over his legs with a steamroller and ran away. Like, that's how you defeat Wolverine.
And I also got to think that the Crow won't know if anyone can outsmart or outmaneuver the Crow without the Crow knowing exactly what's going on, playing, in other words, playing 4D chess, never mind 5D chess. It's going to be Dracula. I don't like what I'm about to say, but I kind of agree with this decision. But through the slightest of margins of victory, through experience, at a huge cost to Dracula, he's going to have to drink a lot of blood to recover from this. I actually agree with this decision. That is insanely rare. Well done, AJ. That's crazy. Ray, congratulations on a great win. Tell the Legion of Audience how you feel right now.
You see, you bring in somebody who studied and knows the horror tropes, like our esteemed judge today, AJ Porfirio of Van Ryder Games and Final Girl. This is a guy who knows horror, and he knows it when he sees it. He knows what smells right and what smells off. And Dracula doing an Undertaker from WWE mid-2000 style casket match against Mick Foley's Mankind and trapping him in the casket for the win. I couldn't have dreamed up a more logical or better ending to this scenario. I have to hand it to AJ. You know this stuff.
Yeah, I'll be honest. When I heard the contenders at the beginning, I thought it was going to be Dracula in a landslide. But James, you made some great arguments, and it really was close in the end. And I tell you, I mean, it kind of made a last second decision. Ultimately, I think you're right. It's the pedigree and the history, and he's seen, what has he not seen at this point? And so even not being able to kill the Crow like he normally would most regular people, he figured out a way to come up on top.
I mean, listen, when a judge can actually weigh both sides really well, never mind have great information before coming into the battle, but also kind of really analyzing the tactics, the strategies. Again, it's really rare when a judge comes to a decision, you know, for Ray, where I say like, wow, I actually agree with the logic here. Really well done on your part. I hate losing, but I actually don't mind it today because of how you did it. You are exactly the type of judge we need on the show all the time. So with that being said, please come back. Come back and give me the win, because that's, I know you wanted to. I could see it. You were painful. It was painful for you to give it to Ray. And that's what all of our judges go through. So until you're back, which I look forward to, tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you online.
So my favorite place for you to find me online is in our Discord. We have Van Ryder Games Discord channel, and you can get a link to that on the bottom of our website, vanrydergames.com. You might also be able to find me on Twitter or Facebook through our Van Ryder accounts. And yeah, but Discord, you know, I'm there all the time. I'd love to have you guys fans come in. You guys come in and we'll definitely be sharing this with our fans, because I think they're going to get a huge kick out of this.
I love it. And then tell the Legion of Audience where they can buy Final Girl.
You can buy Final Girl at vanrydergames.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, friendly local game stores, really anywhere you can find kind of hobby board games.
I love it. Okay, Ray Cicanus, congratulations. This was an awesome matchup. You did a great job. You deserve the win. Tell the Legion of Audience where they can find you.
Let me just soak in this moment. I'm going to change that to my ringtone. James Gavsy saying, Ray, you deserve to win. I've been working on this show for 6 years. I don't think I've ever heard James eating crow, much like he is at the end of this episode. What I love about this episode is I worked a counting joke into it, and nobody even noticed. That's the power that I'm dealing on levels on top of levels on this episode, and I couldn't be more excited, AJ, to have you on the show. I embarrassed myself before we started profusely promoting Final Girl and my own personal experiences with it. Everyone should be playing this game. It's a solitaire solo game, so if you don't have friends like me, you can still play Final Girl whenever the heck you want to, and it is great. You can play it, get as much or as little as you want, but once you start, it's much like Pringles. You will want to buy every single feature film, every single, what are the matinees, the sub features. I don't know, the birds. There's a birds expansion, and I love it. The point I'm trying to make through all of this is I'm great. Thank you.
And where can they find you online, Ray?
You can find me on Threads and Instagram, because I'm doing that now. If you want to see my hot Final Girl content, go to, that sounded worse
wow,
than it, I meant it.
That's not a,
you can go to Instagram at AlmightyRay316. That's also where you'll find me on Threads. And I post Friday night Final Girl. I am banished to the upstairs so everyone else can get a good night's sleep. And on Friday nights, I pull out Final Girl and I play some games, take some pictures, and I talk about the match that night or the next day on Instagram. And it's one of my favorite things to do. I'm always tagging Van Ryder Games. And I love to send them the stuff and just say thank you. So AJ, thank you, not just for making the game that I love so much, but coming on this show and making sense. I appreciate it when a judge listens and comes up with a good decision. And this decision was so good that James Gavsey admitted I'm better. I'm going to sleep well tonight, but not till I play Dr. Fright on Maple Lane. That's next in line for Final Girl on a Friday.
AJ, I'm going to ask you a question I ask all of our judges. It's not too late to reverse your decision and to take away all this momentum Ray has. We'll talk after the show. All right, you can find me on X, a.k.a. Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gavsey. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and to be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Ray Sicanus, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and loved listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.
Sup everyone, Brian here, host of the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast. It's a trivia-style podcast focusing on TV and movies. Listen in for questions like, what's the name of Michael Scott's screenplay? What do you say to view the Marauder's map? What are Tony Stark's last words to Thanos in Avengers Endgame? And where does Ron Burgundy say he is when he calls the news station sobbing from a phone booth? I've covered The Office, Harry Potter, Marvel, Will Ferrell movies, Lord of the Rings, and more, with even more on the way. So play along to the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast anywhere you get podcasts, and stay tuned for more trivia!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.